So, Donovan, can you believe that the radio station has been here for 50 years?
You know, that is something when you think about it. It seems almost unreal. I mean, first things first, you come into a small community, and there probably were some doubts, like, does a radio station really need to be in such a small city? But the station here throughout the years, we have proven going into this that we're resilient. We've survived so much that could be survived from the 70s until now, 70s, mm-hmm. 80s, 90s. I mean, even what's going on in the world right now, we're surviving. And it's also thanks to the community for having our backs. And in response, we'll have your backs.
Yes, absolutely.
My name is Donovan Mann. I am the news and sports director here at KHPT, and I started in January of 2020.
My name is Sam T. Jensen. I am the current program director and morning on-air talent at KHPT, and I have been here since July 2018. Donovan, let's talk a little bit here. We are in the 50th year of KHBT, which is just phenomenal. And we have a very special presentation, KHBT 50 Years of Broadcasting, starting soon. But before that, I wanted to touch base with you a little bit, because you're kind of the newest person, the newest on-air person. So I wanted to hear about your experiences. I would assume we have the same experience coming from larger communities, because you're right. Were you in Charlotte?
Yeah.
Right outside of Charlotte?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
North Carolina. I have worked in radio before. I've worked in smaller towns before. Nothing compares to Humboldt. Is this your first, I don't know if I want to use the term real job, but like your
full-time
radio job?
Yeah, first full-time radio job. I did a lot of work at on-campus radio stations during college. I also did some part-time work with a local radio station just outside of the town, Bowling Green, where I went to school. So first full-time job, first time where I'm really a consistent part of the on-air staff.
The thing is when I got here, it was the same experience as you. Everybody was very welcoming, and you come to realize, you know, they're not just welcoming to me. They're welcoming to everybody mm-hmm. that comes in. And it's something that is kind of in Humboldt's DNA in a way. I use the word community a lot, but I truly think that that's what this has been. This has been 50 years of community.
Mm-hmm. That's the perfect word to describe what goes on with the station, what goes on with the businesses, what goes on with the city. It's just, it is a community.
And, you know, we can just keep talking about it and keep using these fun buzzwords, Donovan, but I think it's better if we actually talk to the people, get to kind of explore what happened, what went on in Humboldt, at the radio station. I think we should put it all together as some sort of, I don't know, maybe like some kind of radio documentary.
I think you're right. I think we should.
So? Yeah. So maybe.
Sounds like a great idea.
So without further ado, KHBT, 50 years of broadcasting. Enjoy. Welcome to KHBT, 50 years of broadcasting. Now, we can't discuss the history of KHBT without first discussing the history of Humboldt. Humboldt, Iowa was founded in 1874 by Stephen H. Taft. Before that, Humboldt was known as Springvale. Taft changed the name to honor a German scientist, explorer, and statesman in Heinrich Alexander von Humboldt. The original intent was merging Dakota City and the former Springvale into one town called Humboldt. That didn't quite work out, but we still love Dakota City anyway. It was around this time, the late 1800s, that radio was still in its infancy. Well, really, it wasn't even an infant. It wasn't even born yet. It was an idea, a thought. Guglielmo Marconi invented the vertical antenna in 1891, where he was able to transmit signals. 10 years after that, these signals could send messages across the Atlantic Ocean. And by 1906, Canadian inventor Reginald Fessenden broadcasted a holiday message, along with some violin playing, singing, and biblical verses. It could be heard on ships from New England to Virginia, and by all accounts, the violin playing was mediocre at best. Be that as it may, this technology soon made its way to the public. And for more than 10 years, amateur radio broadcasters tried out singing instrument playing, speeches, and probably some sort of weird vaudeville bit that I'm too dumb to understand. By 1922, several hundred official radio stations were founded, and radio sets in America increased from 600,000 in 1922 to 1.5 million in 1923. Humboldt, Iowa, of course, would not have a radio station until 1970, but decades prior, radio was on the mind of a young man from Humboldt.
I'm Robert Christensen, proud founder of radio station KHBT. I was born and raised in South Humboldt. My parents, Bob and Virginia Christensen, I couldn't have had a finer childhood. Couldn't have had finer parents. I was blessed to have grown up in a wonderful community like Humboldt, and I've said during some of the best times in this country, the 50s, had the opportunity to be educated in one of the best school systems in the state. We had some of the finest school teachers. In 1953, our family physician, Dr. Ivan Schultz, introduced me to amateur ham radio.
At the tone, 6 hours, 31 minutes, coordinated universal time.
At that time, through amateur ham radio, my father and I, we built our own equipment, transmitters, receivers. At the age of 12, I was the youngest licensed ham operator in the nation. Throughout junior high, high school, I was able to talk to other amateur ham operators throughout the world. Back then, before the web, before cell phones, it was a means of communication.
Come in, Emick. Come in, Emick. Are you having a tornado?
So was it when you were in high school that you began being a DJ over the weekends?
Good question. When I was in high school, I'll never forget, I was a freshman in high school. My English teacher was a lady by the name of Helen Rank. Played a big part in my life in broadcasting. The first day of school as a freshman, she asked me to stay after class. She said, Bob, she said, I know your hobby's amateur ham radio. I want you to go out for radio speaking. So, and Helen was someone that you didn't say no to. As we prepared for district competition and the state speech contest, she had me come in every morning, early in the morning. She worked with me on my district and state speeches. I received one ratings at district, one rating at state. The general manager of KWMT at the time, a gentleman by the name of Burns Nugent, heard of my success at state competition and offered me a part-time job. And throughout high school, every Friday night, Saturday night, I would help the disc jockeys with teen dances in north central northwest Iowa. And Sam, as we talk right now, one of the big moments of my life occurred on Friday evening, January 30th, 1959, the winter dance party at the Larimar Ballroom in Fort Dodge. The main attraction, Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and Richie Valens. I'll never forget after the dance, the disc jockey Dean Johnson and I, we were in the owner of the ballroom, Larry Gere's office, when he settled up with the performers, paid the performers, and we had a chance to visit with Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, the Big Bopper. We followed them out to their bus. It was a cold winter night, snowing, and 4 days later, they were gone, and the music died.
Yeah. February 3rd, 1959, Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and JP, the Big Bopper Richardson, died in a plane crash, along with their pilot Roger Peterson. The plane crashed near Clear Lake, Iowa, and still to this day there is a monument in Clear Lake commemorating the men. A young Robert Christensen continued to work in radio after the winter dance party and the events that followed, and he eventually wound up at KVFD in Fort Dodge, formerly KQTV, a radio and TV station, where he was mentored by owner and legendary broadcaster Ed Breen.
He hired me as a full-time announcer. I did radio and television in Fort Dodge from 1961 until we put the radio station in Humboldt on the air, August 5th, 1970. In 1967, I attended the Don Martin School of Radio and Television Arts and Sciences in Hollywood, California, knowing that my parents and I were going to put a radio station on the air in Humboldt. I wanted to further my education.
Did you ever think, or kind of as TV is getting bigger, that you would want to do that? Or were you still interested in radio? Because TV was getting pretty huge back then.
That's right. My love was always radio. Humboldt County, had never had a radio station. Another goal of mine to bring to Humboldt County its first radio station. And also, there was a need for cable television. My parents and I put the cable TV system in Humboldt and Dakota City on the air.
So where was that building initially? Because I know it's not where it is now.
Some brief history. My late grandmother, Amelia Christensen, she was in the restaurant business. She had a restaurant called the Al Cafe downtown on the north side. It later became Wynn Bootery, and that's where the radio station, the studios and offices were initially located. And then, Sam, we outgrew that space. Mm-hmm. I think it was 1973, 1974, that we moved to your current location.
The current location that Robert Christensen is referring to is 2196 Montana Avenue here in Humboldt. It's an unsuspecting location. On the outside, it looks like a house. On the inside, more like a home. It's a welcoming environment that houses production facilities, an on-air studio, offices, and a break room. The story goes that it was deliberately built as a house, just in case the radio station didn't work out. But Christensen maintains that he was doing all he could to make sure that KHBT succeeded. And along the way by his side were loyal employees in Joe Hassett, Craig Vance, Phyllis Christensen, Faith Johnson, Steve Samuels, Paul Panic, and many others, including Virginia Christensen, Robert Christensen's mother.
I was truly blessed to work side by side with my mother at KHBT for 23 years. She played a huge role in our success. She was a business manager, also did sales. My father, Bob, was not involved in the radio station. He was a nationally known agronomist, had a consulting firm. He had a research farm south of Humboldt. My father represented several chemical and seed corn companies that he did consulting work for. But yeah, if it hadn't been for my parents, Humboldt might not have had a radio station. I'm blessed. I have a wonderful daughter that lives in Dakota mm-hmm. City. She and her husband, Todd, my two wonderful grandkids, Sully and Sadie Lee. So I get to Humboldt a lot to see my daughter, and I go by the radio station whenever I'm in Humboldt, and it sure brings back memories.
So let's talk a little bit about Humboldt. What do you think makes this town special? Why did you feel a need for a radio station here in town?
I'm going to quote Harry Reasoner. Harry Reasoner always said that he had the best address in the nation, Humboldt, Iowa, and I agree.
As far as I know, Humboldt, Iowa is the best small town in the whole world. I spent some of the best times of my life here as a boy. It seems to me that if the world were more like Humboldt, the world would be better.
This soundbite of Harry Reasoner is courtesy of New Ground, Iowa. In 1972, Humboldt was the subject of a documentary hosted by Humboldt County native Harry Reasoner. Reasoner was born in Dakota City in 1923, and he went on to become a legendary journalist and commentator, founding the long-running 60 Minutes program. And he won 3 Emmy Awards during his extraordinary broadcasting career. Reasoner died in 1991 and was buried at Union Cemetery in Humboldt. Robert Christensen says that when his time comes, he would also like to be brought back to Humboldt.
I will always have a fond memory of Humboldt, and when that day comes, and I leave this world, they'll take me back to Humboldt to be buried.
Tell me, when you opened the radio station, was it mainly news? Did you do music? What was the format?
Good question. We wanted to bring to Humboldt one of the finest small market radio stations. When I say small market programming, heavy on local news, local area sports, play-by-play. We elected, after an ascertainment survey, we elected to go with easy listening music from the 50s, mm-hmm. 60s, 40s.
Mm-hmm. we were going to broadcast what is euphemistically called in the industry beautiful music, which is soft background music, fully orchestrated. If there are vocals, they are from traditional artists. A lot of people have described it as akin to elevator music. My name is Greg Stobie. I worked at KHBT from August of 1970 through mid-September of 1970, and then occasionally on Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Easter holidays for the next couple of years. The stations that were around here that were FM were largely simulcasting what the AM station was doing, so it was either a top 40 format or this laid-back format. But there was no other station in the area doing this. So I would walk into a business or to a store and try and sell copy, again for a station that wasn't on the air, and try to explain this beautiful music format. And it was almost impossible. A lot of people would immediately reach around when I started telling them who I was and what we were doing and try to find the station on their local radio. And I'd have to explain, no, it isn't on the air yet. And besides that, all you have is an AM radio in here. You're going to have to get an FM radio. So my efforts that summer in trying to sell advertising copy were, at best, modestly successful. Like most of the summer jobs I had on through college, I learned as much practical knowledge there as I probably did sitting in a classroom. If you'd have asked me, a 20-year-old college kid, on July 31st, 1970, if I'd be sitting in front of a microphone 50 years later reminiscing about the station, I'd have said you were crazy, but here I am.
Greg Stobie says that working at KHBT was a great learning experience. And if he didn't go to law school, perhaps he would have stuck with radio. Despite only working at the radio station on and off in its first few years, Stobie was a prominent voice for KHBT. He would do daily newscasts and, like he mentioned, try and promote its easy listening format. But aside from daily news and beautiful music, Robert Christensen also wanted to highlight local sports.
Before I put that radio station on the air, Humboldt High School athletics weren't broadcast.
That's a good
point. Covered by an area radio station. The first year, Sam, that station was on the air, we accomplished a lot of first in broadcasting in Humboldt. I'll never forget the first year on the air, we covered the state wrestling tournament in Des Moines at Vets Auditorium. And Sam, we were only one of three radio stations at that time covering the state wrestling tournament.
Since its inception in 1970, KHBT has covered everything Humboldt Wildcats, from wrestling, like Robert Christensen mentioned, to football, baseball, softball, basketball, track meets, volleyball, soccer, and so much more. And throughout its 50-year history, KHBT has employed some of the most enthusiastic and knowledgeable sports broadcasters, but none were quite as unique as Joe Hassett. Joe was the sports director and did play-by-play at KHBT starting in the early 1980s until his untimely passing in 2009. Todd Studer, the news director at KHBT from 2006 to 2007, shares some of his memories working with Joe.
Joe had one of the biggest hearts you'd ever want to meet. He was a wonderful guy. Used the word friends all the time on the air. When he was talking to his listeners, he called them friends, and he meant it. He absolutely meant it. Joe had been the sports guy here for a long time, my background being sports, so I just kind of plugged in, and I helped him out a little bit. I went and I did some basketball games, but also doing color commentary for him on football. You know, back in 2006 when Humboldt won the state championship, it was a great run. It was an absolutely great run, and to this day, it's the only time I ever got to broadcast from the Unidome.
Wow.
Was on this station. And doing those with Joe was a trip. I mean, it was just, it was an awful lot of fun that Joe had his own style, and he had a style that he had to stick to, you know. But he was good at it, and he'd gotten, everyone has heard the cats win at the end of any victory of a broadcast that was on. I remember when we knew that, okay, the Wildcats are going to win the state championship and the clock is running out, Joe's lost it. Tears are just flowing down his face. He's shaking. He can't get anything out. And I thought, okay, let me step in. I mean, it's radio. It's live radio. So you got to have something on the air. Dead air is the worst thing that can happen. So I jump on, and I don't even remember what I said. I was just kind of recapping, and you know, in the Humboldt Wildcats are the, you know, the state champion, and Joe stopped me, and he said, no, let's do this right.